even if the forces of darkness appear to prevail. Those who believe in God know that death and evil do not have the final say. These were some of the words of the modern day saint, St. John Paul II, 20 years ago today on September 12th after the attacks of September 11th. He said he was moved with great pity and compassion at the suffering and death that happened in our country that day. But he said he was moved to deep prayer in the midst of that suffering because of what he says in this quote, that even if the forces of darkness appear to prevail as they may have that day, those who believe in God know that death and evil do not have the final say. And in many ways, that's the hope we have as a Christian through these readings. But I think especially on the 20th anniversary of the attacks of September 11th, it should resonate with us in a very personal way. You know, even though I didn't know anybody personally affected by those attacks, it shook something of my peace and security of this country. Right? The things that were comfortable and easy before all of a sudden were filled with some anxiety or concern. That it shook how we could go about in our daily lives, brought about great suffering, yes, on that day, but even suffering after that, and caused us to question how we personally and how we as a country could possibly respond. What were we supposed to do in the midst of this new world? I remember even thinking for the next couple days after the attacks that I noticed airplanes flying overhead, which living in West Wichita my whole life was not a new thing. Couldn't remember before that even noticing planes flying overhead. And yet, for about a week afterwards, I would kind of watch planes if I noticed them and make sure they got where they were supposed to go. It was a very kind of weird thing when I actually thought about it, that for some reason this very normal, regular occurrence that I'd become used to was now something that brought about some concern, some sense of discomfort, rather than just something to live with, rather than something that I'd become very used to. But St. John Paul II saw in the midst of that not that evil had won. Instead, that even in the midst of suffering, death and evil don't have the final say. Instead, the love of Christ can actually be put forth in the midst of suffering and pain. That's when we remember those days fondly, the way that we were united as a country with great patriotism, the acts of valor and heroism by those first responders. All those feelings bring about that truth, that even in the midst of great suffering and darkness, death and evil do not have the final say. But the love of Christ can actually shine forth in those moments. I actually think St. Peter finds himself in a similar situation, a similar feeling that we may have had on that day 20 years ago. That he thought he knew and was comfortable with who Jesus the Messiah was supposed to be. He thought he knew what that was going to look like, and it certainly didn't include the evil of him suffering and dying. Certainly couldn't include him being rejected by the people around him, the scribes and Pharisees. They were supposed to be the religious leaders that would lead them closer to God. Jesus, it couldn't possibly be that. I'll never let that happen. What Jesus challenges Simon Peter to realize in the gospel is that if he believes that he is the Christ, then these things are going to happen as he'll see on the cross. Yet, Simon Peter has to be willing to see how God can work in the face of darkness. That even when it seems like the forces of darkness seem to prevail, that is not the final word. God can always speak in the midst of that. Can always bring his love and his power into that moment. I think that's the truth that we hear from the prophet Isaiah in our first reading about the suffering servant. These several verses that lay out who Jesus is going to be and what he's going to do as the suffering servant aren't just about him physically suffering and enduring pain, but it's that in the midst of that, God is still with him. Our reading today opens up by saying, "The Lord God opens my ears that I may hear. I have not rebelled. I gave my back to those who beat me. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting." And it opens up by saying that God opens his ear. God speaks to him in the midst of that pain. If you remember, last Sunday's gospel was Jesus saying the exact same thing to the deaf man. Ephatha, be opened. That the word of God is meant to open our ears, not just physically, but spiritually. Church fathers saw in that deaf man how we ourselves are deaf to the word of God. How too often we focus on what we want to hear, what we want to do, rather than seeking God's input in those moments. And so we have to repeatedly allow ourselves to be opened, to hear Jesus say, Ephatha, spiritually, so that we can hear him guide and direct us. That's what the prophet Isaiah is saying that Jesus, as the suffering servant, does. That on the way to the cross, he is repeatedly allowing God to speak in the midst of that pain and suffering. So like St. John Paul II said, even when it appears that darkness prevails, as we might look at the cross, we realize that instead God can speak in that moment. He can act to not allow death and evil to have the final say. That's what it means to take up our cross and to follow Christ. It means that we are willing to die to ourselves and instead to allow him to live in us. To not be focused on what's comfortable or familiar or easy for us, but instead, even in suffering, to see how we can follow him. I actually think that's the beauty and power of the words in our second reading from St. James. Hear James talk about not just faith, but works, and we can hear the long argument between Protestants and Catholics, right? That Protestants say, oh, we just need faith alone, and we're supposed to say, oh, well, no, you need to have works, and that's what St. James says. But I don't think that's really what St. James had on his mind in the early church. Instead, what he's trying to speak to and what he can speak to us today is that we are called to reflect on our own lives. Not just to cover over and say, oh, I have faith because I've received the sacraments, I go to church on Sundays, and so the rest of it's all fine. But it's actually to look at our actions and say, even when there's suffering, even when there's discomfort, do I actually follow God? Am I actually listening to his voice so that it can be the last thing that I hear, rather than focusing on the other noises and sounds around me? Do my actions actually show that I'm listening to the church and the moral law of Christ? So that even when it's uncomfortable for me and difficult, even in those kinds of sufferings, I'll be willing to follow him. Might sound a little trivial, but it actually reminds me of one of the most well-known of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not lie. It's pretty straightforward. I think all of us know what a lie is, even the younger ones. I'd say even the ones that receive First Communion and First Confession, they know what a lie is, right? Intentionally not tell the truth. And yet, how often do we allow ourselves to say, well, just don't lie unless you have a really good reason? Unless it's really uncomfortable or inconvenient for me, well, then it's probably okay if I lie right now, God. It's fine. That's one of those exceptions to your rule. Right? But instead, I think we should really challenge ourselves to say, even in those moments when it might cause discomfort, when I might be worried what somebody else will say, I mean, at least open to hearing how God can work in that moment. Am I at least open to seeing how God might bring about his final word, his loving and generous love in my life by living out of the truth? Am I not being willing to hide behind a lie or to shield things? I think there's many other ways in our lives that our works can actually show if we're truly willing to follow Christ. If in those moments of suffering and trial, we're following him and listening to him, or if we're really just listening to ourselves. So brothers and sisters, let us resolve, like St. Peter and the apostles, to not only profess the love of Christ, but actually to take up our cross and follow him. To recognize that each day he speaks a word to us to be open. That he speaks into our lives so that even in the midst of suffering and evil, his love can shine forth in the midst of darkness. That just as we will not forget the events of September 11th, we'll also not forget the way that God always has the final say. that even if it looks like the forces of darkness prevail, even if it seems like there's great suffering and no hope for us in a material way, even in those moments, we will believe that death and evil will not have the final say. Instead, we will be open to listen, to hear the word of God, to hear him speak a word of love to us personally, and that through our lives and our works, that love will be proclaimed to the ends of the earth.